Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's On the Box with Devlin and Brundage.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of On the Box. Today we'll be talking Breaking Bad. This is episode I haven't got a fucking clue. As usual, you've come to expect from On the Box. No planning at all. So this could be episode 8, 9, 10, but I'm sure you know what it is, whatever the title says. Today I'm joined by Mr. Guy Drinkle and Mr. Joseph Cousins, who, if you listen to the Abbeville Index podcast, you should all know. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hi, man. How you doing?
Not so bad. We've got here in the end. It's a bit of a... We were supposed to do this a couple of days ago, but it didn't happen. But we're here now, and we all don't know anything about Breaking Bad. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
As the guys know, I've spent 2 hours, basically, before this, coming up with a synopsis, because Breaking Bad ended in 2013, was it? Something like that. Yeah, and I don't have a ball day because I watch a lot of TV, so it happened. I know I enjoyed it, so then I had to go back and figure out what it was. And then you guys were similar vein, basically, yeah?
Yeah.
I've watched it in 9 minutes, so it's all good.
I don't know what it is with the 9 minutes. As soon as I typed into YouTube, Breaking Bad recap, it was lists and lists of 9 minutes and variations of 9 minutes. 9 minutes just seems to be a popular length for this. I don't know.
I had to make an important decision between 8 or 9 minutes. I went for the 9 because I'm dedicated to this.
Yeah, dedication there. All 9 minutes of it. Okay. Well, first of all, I think, do we want to just sort of go into how we started watching the show? What format we watched the show? Guy, we'll come to you first, I think. How did you first learn about the show?
Well, I first learned about it because I went to university, and basically the only show I watched before Breaking Bad was Spartacus Blood and Sand. I got to uni and my mate was like, "You've only watched that, haven't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then Netflix, I got Netflix in my room, and then...
Did you watch Spartacus for any particular reason?
Because it was on Sky.
It's not that other reason that most students watch Spartacus, no?
No, no. I mean, it was on Bravo. You have to watch a show that's on Bravo. It's like sci-fi.
So you got fix, yeah?
Yeah, I got my fix, and then about 4 days later, I was like, I had about 2 hours sleep, and I was nearly done.
Yeah, it was crazy. Was that, were they all on Netflix at that point?
Yeah, I think so.
So you binge watched then?
I did.
Yeah. Jill, what about yourself?
I was late as well. I wasn't watching it at the time it was airing. Just hearing about it. Lots of hype, but I sort of ignored it. I do that with a lot of shows where I don't watch it like the time it's out. I sort of wait a while. And then it sort of stirred my interest, so I thought, right, I'll give it a go. I watched season one. I think the first few episodes, wasn't impressed. It took me ages, weeks, maybe even months to actually continue watching series one. But then when I got into it and then completed series one and got into season two, I was absolutely hooked. and binge watched the rest of it. I think I binge watched it until about maybe season four. I caught up and then started watching it sort of as soon as they were released.
Yeah, I think you're a bit like myself. Well, you'll know from the document I sent you that season one, the plot points compared to their other seasons, they're not really that. It's not that complex. Not a lot happens.
Yeah.
Seems to be the same with Better Call Saul, which we might come on to later on.
Yeah.
Because it's really slow at starting, but it's sort of like Emery Chan with slow starting, but when he starts going, it just keeps going.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to sound like a real hipster when I say I started watching it in 2011 before it was cool. That's the real hipster thing. Everybody really says that. I liked it before it was cool. So I think I binge watched up to about halfway through season three or something like that. And then I was back on board with when it was on and I just couldn't get enough of it. Basically, it's really hard to go. I don't know what you found, Joe. It's really hard to go from binge watching something to then go on to.
Oh, yeah. Really, really difficult. I did the same with Dexter, where I binge watched maybe the first two or three series and then start watching it weekly. It's really hard because at the end of the episode, you just want more.
You're a guy after my own heart. I did exactly the same as Dexter. I think I binge watched up to the end of season four of Dexter.
Yeah.
And then I had to start watching it. And then that actually coincided with Dexter turning shit. So, which is great. So I think we'll move on. We'll sort of move through this. We've got our synopsis open here. We're not going to go too much in depth of this because, let's face it, we don't remember most of the plot points. But we'll go for it anyway. Season one sort of it kicks off. We meet Walt. We all probably at that stage know Walt as the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So we're kind of half expecting it to be funny because that's all we've seen him do in the past. Yeah. Yeah. So we start off with Walt. We find out pretty soon that he's been diagnosed with cancer. He's a chemistry teacher. He seems a real dweeb. When we first introduced him, did you see sort of where we know where he ends up in the end, guys? Could you tell at the start? Did you have any idea that that's the way it was going to go, or do you like me just see him as a dweeby chemistry teacher?
As soon as I saw it, I was like, that's still Hal. That's still Hal from Malcolm in the Middle. And it always will be.
Yeah, do you think he's a bit typecast?
A bit.
For a certain generation, he is a bit. I think when he lost the hair, you could move on from that, I think.
Nah, since I saw the alternative ending, that I think it was Friday Night did or something like that in America, it's still Hal. It was just all a dream.
He just wakes up. Joe, what was your take on Walt as soon as we met him?
I never really watched Malcolm in the Middle. I've seen a few episodes, but never really sort of watched it properly. But yeah, the sense was that he was a bit of a geek, bit of a dweeb. Never ever thought that his endeavors in the drug trade would take the direction that it actually did. Never thought that in a million years. But you're right though, with the haircut. And the old beard, he definitely all of a sudden he just changed, you know, persona just completely different. It's amazing how just a change of haircut and trimming the goatee can have that effect.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's amazing. Just what appearance just says everything, doesn't it? Like just having long scraggly hair the way he had in the start, and then to go, it's basically the goatee. He doesn't even have to shave his head if he had the goatee.
It's 100% the hat. It's all in the hat.
All in the hat, exactly. So we were introduced to Walt, and then the other characters were Skyler, who's his pregnant wife. We have Walt Jr., who comes with the stupidest nickname, Flynn. I have no idea why. He's got cerebral palsy. So he walks in crutches, if I remember right. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And he's a bit... He's his son. Brother-in-law Hank... He's a DEA agent, and the sister-in-law Marie, who's a dickhead and a shoplifter.
That's a very good description.
Yeah, she just infuriated me. And then later on we meet Jesse. So we meet Jesse sort of later on. Walt gets diagnosed with cancer. He realizes he's broke. His family's screwed. Basically, he's got to find a way to make some money. So he goes out with brother-in-law Hank, DEA agent. sees Jesse, one of his former pupils, hanging out of a window at a drug bust, and it all sort of clicks together that he's going to start making meth, because he's... all chemistry teachers are brilliant at making meth, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they team up. What were your first impressions of Jesse, guys? Was he a likable character, guy?
He annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah?
I mean, like, being a bit younger, it was like, obviously because it's more Americanized, it's like, I recognize him from everywhere in my school and stuff like that, apart from the drug dealing and all that shit, of course.
Oh, it's best to say that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Representing the Northeast here. I can't be painting that picture. But I found him a bit annoying, but obviously he used the word bitch probably about 7 million times in the first series. But I think that shows the show really, obviously we're still on about season one, but it kind of shows how he grows up in a sense.
Yeah, we'll come on to how it develops along. What about you, Joe? Did you like Jesse in the beginning?
Yeah, I hated him as well. He was so annoying. Everything about him pissed me off. Yeah. It is, I know we're going to talk about it further, but yeah, his development I thought was really good. It was really, really good writing. But because at the beginning, I think it's purposeful that the audience just can't stand this guy. You know, he just seems just like a total fuck up. And just an idiot.
to me, he's we all know a Jesse in our lives. I think not necessarily maybe to the extent of drugs and stuff, but we just know this one person who just sort of is lazy, fleets through life, and things just sort of end up working out for him somehow. I don't know, but he gets by anyway. From this moment, I'm going to say, if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, you're an idiot if you're going to keep listening to this. Spoiler alert. So beyond introduction of characters, I'm going to say spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it, go watch it, then listen to this. Otherwise, don't tweet me and say spoilers and all that bullshit. Just, that's a word of warning. So we kick off in season one. So they team up, Jesse and, well, two completely polar opposites to make meth, and they end up buying a Winnebago, which is quite famous. And if anybody's played GTA or anything, notice that that's a real cultural icon at the minute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it quickly dissolves into complete chaos. Jesse's former partner, Scary 8, doesn't take nicely to the guys making meth. And what ends up happening is Walt ends up killing Scary 8. So Walt goes from a dweeb chemistry teacher pretty quickly into a murderer, all in the space of a few weeks, I'd say, just over money.
Of him making a sandwich.
Pretty much, yeah. To me, I thought that my only criticism of this season would be the fact that he went very quickly from being just your average guy to being a killer. Did any of you guys find that, Joe? What do you think?
I don't know. I had the sense at the time that he really had no other choice. And because he was in this predicament, because by then he had received the diagnosis about the cancer, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's in a jam really. And it's really desperate, you know. And so I wasn't, you know, overly sort of shocked that they sort of had him do that in such a short space of time, just the sheer desperation of his predicament. And it's not as if he had too many choices, because, you know, if he let him go, then he knew that you know, likelihood is Scary 8 would try and kill him anyway. So, but usually when you watch films or shows like that, they can't go through with it. The surprise is that he actually did go through with it. But when you look at it from a logical perspective, I could sort of understand why it happened.
Yeah, so it didn't bother you. What about you, Guy?
I thought it was perfect, to be honest. At that stage, he already escaped by the skin of his teeth. Really, he almost got caught by the DEA or whoever it was. He almost got killed by Scary 8 and his big bastard friend
Winnebago.
Yeah, he almost got killed in there. So I think it was at that stage. It was just kill or be killed, really. And then obviously the whole thing of making meth was to do about himself and his family, so I think he has to think about that, and it just shows a desperate man will do anything to get out of a predicament.
Yeah, I suppose. But he then comes up with this expert way of getting rid of the body, which I don't know why movies or anything haven't thought of this. Stick him in a bathtub with some hydrochloric acid and gone. Basically, why aren't all the criminals in the world doing this? That's what I'm wondering. But
well, the might be, that's the scary thing.
Well, this is true. So it's another example of how a chemistry teacher seems to be some sort of genius. But anyway, so we know that Walt has lied to Skyler about his cancer. He first lies about it, and then he later tells her, and then she wonders where the money's coming from. So he has to say he's getting it from these guys that he used to be partners with in this company that they started, and he was sort of ousted out of the company, and he became the teacher. Those guys become important later on in season 5. But the next run-in is with Tuco, who is one scary person. Maybe he should have been called Scary Ape because he is mental.
Yes.
What do we think of Tuco? Crazy.
he's a great villain to have in one series, because I think I read this somewhere that he was planned to be in the main bad guy for the whole show. Obviously, we're just on season one, but in season one, he's just that in your face scary bastard who would like. Well, he does kill all his mates just to get some more meth.
He's sampling the product, really.
Yeah, sampling the product and then punches someone to death.
Yeah.
It must be his downer from the meth.
And Walt ends up blowing him up in his office, too.
Yeah.
just to piss him off just a little bit more. What about you, Joe? Tuco?
Absolute nutter. I remember the actor, and he played a similar role in Training Day. You remember the scene where Ethan Hawke's character gets set up by Denzel with the Mexican behind. Guys? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're playing cards. And the guy, I think it's Tuco, starts asking him whether, you know, stuff about having his ship pushed back or something along those lines. So he's an absolute nutter in that scene. And he plays almost exactly the same in Breaking Bad. You just wonder how someone with that sort of mentality and temperament actually made it that far up in the drug chain, but yeah, an absolute nutcase.
I think, as we learn in season 2, it's probably who he knows rather than how good he is at anything.
Family. Yeah,
but in keeping with season 1, as we said, not a lot happens. So we meet Tuco, the several sort of run-ins, and then at the end, Walt and Jesse sort of make a deal to go to be his supplier. And then Walt becomes what is infamously known as Heisenberg, and he dons the aforementioned hat. That's the end of season 1. I myself at that point was kind of like, well, that was great. I'll move on to season 2. I'm not sure really where it's going. Were you guys sort of the same, or was it halfway through season 1 where you guys really got hooked?
I got hooked from when they started cooking up the meth in the camper van. I pretty much got hooked there. And because it was only seven episodes in the first series, wasn't it? And then series 2 looked like there was even more. So what, 10 or 12? I just had the feeling that it was really going to step up, especially given all the hype everyone gave it at the time, people who I'd know that had seen it. So pretty much was confident that it was going to get a lot better. So I dived straight into season 2 at that point.
I suppose you were the same guy, yeah.
Yeah, it helped that I was binge-watching it as well, because you could go straight onto it.
Yeah, well, I could binge-watch it, but it's kind of like, I felt Better Call Saul. It's kind of like, I like it, but I'm not sure if I really, really like it, but I'll go. It was enough there for me to go on to season 2. Season 2 is where it really starts to kick off, and we meet characters such as Saul Goodman, who we've already mentioned. But at the start, we meet Hector. So Tuco kidnaps the guys after they've decided to try and kill him with ricin. So he kidnaps them and takes them to the desert, where we meet Hector, who's a crazy guy. He's the uncle of Tuco, and he seems to have taken a stroke or whatever, and he communicates through a really stupid bell. All I remember is that bell infuriating me at the time. But we find ourselves there, and the guys try to kill Tuco, by putting the ricin. So the ricin's really important because the ricin is the sort of the key to Jesse and Walt's relationship later on. Mm. This is the start of it. But he tries to kill Tuco, and Hector spots it. They think, oh, he's not going to notice or whatever. He's had a stroke. He won't know. But he does notice. And Hector becomes vital too in the end, in a big way with one of the main characters. So Tuco ends up, pretty much fucking Jesse up. And then Walt sort of overpowers him and shoots him. If I remember right, that's right, isn't it?
Who, Tuco?
Yeah.
And shoots Tuco.
Who shoots Tuco? Yeah, he shoots him in the head, but it's Walt.
Yeah.
And then Hank follows them out to, follows Jesse's car, because he's investigating Jesse, and he's following him through GPS. So he follows his car and then ends up killing Tuco. So this is sort of our first introduction to Hank as a real badass. I'm just going to come to you about Hank. Guy, was Hank a character you really related to? Was somebody annoyed you?
What, in the first series, he was just an asshole, and like, you felt sorry for Walt and all that, and then Hank was just being a prick to him pretty much all the time, like teasing him and stuff like that. And then in season two, it just kind of you kind of see the role that Hank takes, where he is actually the good guy rather than the anti-hero that Jesse and Walt are. So you see that he is like probably one of the most important roles in it, and then it just kind of develops as it goes on, and then obviously he gets a bit more big headed as it goes on. But yeah. I wouldn't say I liked him, but he had a very important role in it.
Yeah, he sort of started out as that macho, typical cop, doesn't he? Yeah. What about you, Joe?
The same for me. He annoyed me at the beginning. He reminded me of you've seen The Shield, the TV series The Shield.
Yeah.
And you know the character I'm talking about. Same guy from Fantastic Four. I can't remember the actor's name now. He reminded me of him, and I hated that guy in The Shield. he used to annoy me, you know, the constant sort of jokes at Walt's expense and what have you. He used to annoy me back. But as Guy said, as they develop him, he's definitely a lot more layers to his character. And you know, we'll go speak about it probably further, but when he gets the injury and what have you, he switches jobs, you just start seeing a lot more to him. But yeah, that was the first sign of his, you know, his actual nature, what he's doing as a cop. It was sort of the first sort of entry into action Hank, speak.
And this is really important as well, because it's the first time that Walt sort of has to lie about where he's been or what he's been doing. Trend. So he ends up making up a story that he's lost his mind because of the cancer, and that's where it was. But so he gets away with it, whereas Jesse gets picked up by the DEA, and so does Uncle Hector. But Hector's like an old school drug lord guy. He doesn't rat him out
not,
or anything. Yeah,
not ratting at all, no matter what.
Yeah. Which, again, that becomes a real important thing later on about Hector not being a rat. Is he a rat? Is he not a rat? But anyway, we move on then in season two. So season two is a lot more complex than season one. And we move on again. It's like another phase of the season. And Jesse moves in with Jane, which brings up all manner of fun. Jane is played by Kristen Ritter, who everyone probably know as Jessica Jones, who I'd say you guys know you like, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But in this, would you agree with me, she was a pain in the fucking arse?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, she was a pain in the arse. Not at the beginning, but then as soon as people found out that, you know, he was entitled to should have been entitled to money, that was it. As soon as they started taking heroin again, that was it, really.
Yeah, because Jane was a drug addict who tried to go straight, and it was in turn trying to push that onto Jesse, and then they decided that, hey, they're going to do heroin one last time.
Just one time.
that's how heroin works.
Yeah.
But that's again really important, because Jane ends up overdosing on heroin, and Walt watches it and doesn't. He could have stopped it. So this is again Walt sort of falling deeper into the darkness, because she was pulling Jesse away. he sees it as an opportunity to get rid of her and he'll get Jesse back. So he just watches her die. And Jesse doesn't know this. I don't know about you guys, but that scene really made, it was kind of uncomfortable to watch, just somebody watching somebody else die in that way. What do you guys think, Joe?
It was uncomfortable. It was, I thought, the right decision. It was the right decision on a few levels, really. I don't think Jesse would have ever sort of fixed himself up and gone into rehab and what have you if she didn't die. And you know, the whole sort of I reckon he'd have just got the money and pissed it away, and that would have been the end of that. Probably would end up getting grassed up, and Walt would have probably ended up in prison anyway. So I think big picture, it was the right decision, but obviously, you know, really difficult one, and one that was really tough and surprising as well to watch. And you could just see him descending, as you said, into the darkness from that point. But I thought it was a fascinating bit of the series.
I thought it was a really striking bit of television. TV doesn't often go definitely. For that. And usually if somebody overdoses or something, it's not usually something that's just put in front of you like that.
I've never seen something like that before. And I can't remember seeing something like that before in a television show. It was done really, really well. It was jaw-dropping at the time.
Yeah, it was the real meaning of Dark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guy, what do you think? Was it uncomfortable for you, or do you just want to see the world burn, as I said to you earlier on?
Yeah. In terms of the show, you want to see the world burn because you want to see Walt just become Heisenberg 24/7. But and ultimately that does happen after this point.
Yeah.
So it was obviously uncomfortable to watch because, well, someone's dying, like choking in front of you on their own fucking vomit and stuff like that. It wasn't pretty to watch, obviously, but in terms of the show developing, it was like, fuck yeah, he's going to be a badass now. And to quote,
I think we get what you mean.
It's for the greater good.
The greater good.
I suppose if he'd saved her there, then we all probably would have a lot more time on our hands because we wouldn't be watching Breaking Bad.
We wouldn't be doing this, would we?
No. Would have saved me right now at this, anyway. There's other important points in this season as well. I'm trying to get this all together because it is very complex and I'm trying to run through it as quickly as possible. We're trying to get this into one pod. Other things that sort of happen here that are important is we've met Saul Goodman. He just kind of gets Jesse's friend out of a sort of tight situation. He becomes the lawyer, sort of the legal advice, but he's a real crooked lawyer and he's the legal advice for the pair of them because, let's face it, the pair of them are clueless when it comes to this shit. And he sort of tells them that they need to start laundering their money and stuff. But first he introduces them to Gus. And Gus is big because Gus is a real-time drug lord. He's like one of the big guys in all of this. He has connections to people in Mexico and the mafia and things like that. And it'll come into play later on with Hector as well. And Gus runs... what's the chicken place called again, guys?
El Taco Polos? Something like that?
There you go.
And there you go.
Anybody who hasn't seen the show has probably seen this logo because it's fucking everywhere. Gus runs this chicken place, but it's actually a front for drugs. So Walt and Jesse decide to team up with Gus because he's going to be able to distribute the meth for them and pretty much make all the money that Walt wants to make. But towards the end of season two, Walt goes in to get a surgery for his cancer, which he gets put under anesthetic. And sort of in the background, Skyler's been sort of thinking, what's going on here? Blah, 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 blah. They ended up setting up a website for making money for Walt. And that's what Walt was laundering his money through. And Skyler starts wondering where all this money's coming from and stuff. And she starts accusing him of having a second phone. And she starts getting really paranoid. So Walt's under drugs, he's about to go into surgery, and he confirms to her that he has two phones, and that's a big moment at the end of the series. So that at that point, Skyler no longer trusts him. I'm just going to come here to Skyler, guys. Do you hate Skyler as much as I hate Skyler?
I hope it's more. I hope I hate her more. She's a right bitch.
Yeah, I do.
I think she's probably my least favorite character in any TV show ever. And that says a lot because I watch a lot of TV. What, were you guys really the same? Yeah.
I used to think, how
how did they end up getting married in the first place? She seems to just dislike him and not back any of his decisions at all. Because I thought his biggest, sort of going through season two, I thought his biggest mistake he was making was not telling Skylar, was having this double life. Because I don't think you can have, I don't think there's any sort of big drug lord out there that his wife doesn't know what they're doing. It's impossible to live such a double life with the person you're most close to not knowing. And probably the first thing they're going to suspect is that you're having an affair, and then it's all going to go pear-shaped. So episode after episode, I used to think to myself, you need to just tell her what you're doing. And she being your wife, she should be understanding, knowing, you know, what the reasons for it and what have you, and might not agree with it, but, you know. So her sort of reaction to when he finally did tell her was a bit surprising, and made me sort of hate her in the series.
Yeah, Guy, what about you? Just a real bitch.
Oh God, I couldn't stand her. And she just gets worse and worse each time. She's just a bitch. Your brother's a DEA. Your stepbrother's a DEA agent. Do you think you don't think he knows that, you stupid bitch? Oh God, she's just an asshole.
Even her sister's a bitch.
Yeah,
it just seems to be a family thing. Parents. Oh, you probably don't. But she was a real like stereotypical, like, if anybody's making sexist remarks about women or whatever, it's basically the Skylar character, isn't it? It's just a nagging wife.
Nagging wife. Getting... The epitome of the nagging wife.
Yeah. And so we move on to season three, and the hatred sort of starts to boil over. Skylar's now started working for a guy called Ted, who is a dweeb. She seems to have a thing for dweebs, doesn't she?
Mm. Everyone's got a type.
Yeah, see, she likes to overpower people, it seems. But anyway, she becomes the bookkeeper for this guy called Ted. He's actually been laundering money, which again comes into play later on. But we start off in the season and we're introduced to the cousins. The cousins are two twin brothers who are the son, if I'm getting this right, the sons of Hector, aren't they?
I believe so.
Yeah. And hence the cousins of Tuco. So they're two twins and they're hell-bent on killing Walt because they think that he killed Tuco. So this becomes a big thing between, because they're Mexican, they're the guys who are supplying in Mexico and stuff, and there's a sort of a relationship there between Gus and the Mexicans, and it all gets a bit complicated. So Walt's now working for Gus. The cousins are now trying to kill Walt. And Skylar now wants a divorce because she realizes Walt's a drug dealer, because that's all added up in her head. So anyway, the cousins come up and they want to kill Walt, but Gus doesn't allow it. What were your first guys' impressions of the cousins? Because at first I thought it was like a real sort of like, you know, like a real trope in an action movie, like, you know, where you got like the Matrix, second Matrix movie, you know, the Reloaded one, where they got the two twins, they're two badass.
Oh
masts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's this real action trope. And Breaking Bad doesn't really do tropes that often, but I thought these guys were a real sort of cheesy. What do you think of them, Guy?
They were just basically a Bond baddie who just didn't talk and just looked scary.
Yeah, because they don't talk. It's like...
Yeah, they just literally turn up, pick up a picture, and then sit in someone's bedroom with a shiny axe. That's basically all they do.
It was great writing, wasn't it?
It was. Just half an episode whilst they just crawl in the dirt for some reason.
Those two guys just phoned the performance in and just
got a BAFTA or something.
They got the part just because they were a twin, really. Twin and Mexican.
They're twins and they looked the part, and that was about it.
They basically look like Mexican hitman.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's pretty much what they are. They come up and they're going to kill Walt, but this is when we find out that Gus is really connected, because they're about to kill Walt and they get a phone call, and then they end up in the desert and they're Gus's, and Gus just basically goes, no. And they don't do it. So that shows the sway and how connected Gus is. So Gus is really a big drug lord in this. This is when we start to realize that Gus is a real badass, because at the start, you kind of think, Gus is a really nice guy. Like, he invites Walt over to his house for dinner and stuff like that. And you think, hey, this guy's great. How can he really be a drug lord? He must be sort of in the same predicament as Walt. He just sort of fell into it. But then we find out that he's just really a psychopath.
This is when shit gets real.
Shit does get real.
Were you guys surprised by that? How Gus, like, just instantly, like, we just find out that he is the badass of he's basically the badass of the whole thing.
Yeah, I was in the same boat as you, where you're like, oh, he seems all right. He must just have respect from everyone. And then he just goes, oh, okay. He is fucking terrifying.
He's actually maybe more terrifying than Tuco in that respect, because
In the later seasons when you see what he actually does.
He just kills. There's one of the seasons. Is it start of season 4 or something like that? He just kills one of his employees because he can't kill Walt.
Yeah,
just kills him on the spot.
When the Mexicans are trying to kill Gus as well, and he just stands there letting them shoot him. He's just like, "Fuck you! I am a god."
Yeah, and he's an old dude too. Like, it's not like he's in his 30s or anything. Like, he's maybe 50s, I'd say.
It must be like that. Yeah.
Did you guys like Gus, Joe? Did you like
the character? Love the character. I mean, I know the actor way back, watching Spike Lee films in the '80s. So he's been around the block for years. I think this was his first big part on TV though. Fantastic, and you knew he was just had a good feeling that he was a big player in the game. Just by the way they introduced him, or way he was introduced to Gus, like initially just polite chicken shop manager, and then I just had the feeling that there was a lot more to him than that, and obviously the sways politically as well, like the influences he had politically, just let you know that, you know, this was a big player in the game, and the flashbacks I thought were fantastic. It really did knit the story well between the stuff with Hector that happens later.
Yeah, and we find out why they don't like each other.
Yeah, yeah. The flashback was really I was really good. It sort of gave you, it added a lot more layers to his character and his story. That was fantastic. Gus was probably my favorite character in the series during season three and four.
Guy, you like him as a villain, yeah?
I think he made the show as great as it actually is. I think if it wasn't for him and his character, I think it would have been more of the same from season 1 and 2, where it's just you've got the stereotypical mental baddie, and then you've just got two people trying to fend him off. Whereas Gus just makes it. He's just a psychotic bastard who can play mind games with anyone. I think he added an extra layer to the show in the whole. And in terms of favourite character, I think he is actually my favourite character of the whole show, not just the series.
He's like the Bond villain, isn't he? He's like the ultimate Bond villain. Likeable.
He's the one who's in charge of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
He sort of reminded me of, is it Scalamanga, the man with the golden gun? That sort of, because he's a really cool customer. Yeah. And he just sort of kills people when he wants to, maybe sometimes for fun, but doesn't go overboard. He's just a cool customer.
He knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's why he's successful. But anyway, he shows his bad side in a way by saying, hey, look, I need Walt, so I'm going to say, hey, Hank, I'm going to tell him the truth, the cousins, that is. Hank killed him. So he sets the cousins on Hank to kill Hank. And this ends up in a confrontation in a car park. I love this confrontation. Do you guys like this confrontation?
Oh, it was gritty. It was real. It was fun.
I think TV didn't really do this at the time, I thought, anyway. It was gruesome. It was sort of like Heat. Sort of reminded me of.
Yeah, it was like Heat. Yeah.
But nothing like that had ever been on TV before. This was sort of like TV had graduated to Heat's level. It's that sort of sophisticated level of violence that it's not too gratuitous, but it's gory. Like, so Hank ends up reversing into one of them and then shooting another one in the head, but then he gets shot. So what happens is he has to go to rehab because he can't walk anymore, and that's when he sort of starts questioning himself and everything. And are you guys saying, is this when Hank changed for you? This is when you started to relate a bit more to Hank?
Yeah, definitely. Joe? Yeah, definitely. This is when you start seeing other facets to his character, not just the hard guy, but you know. they brought in vulnerability into his character, and I thought that was really good.
When you say hard guy, are you referring maybe to what his wife was doing to him? let's say Hank got a little quickie in the
a quickie under the covers.
Yes, definitely. We'll move on from that. This is a respectable podcast. We move on and Walt starts working for Gus, and we realize the extent of his operation because he's got a big underground lab for him to work in and make, to his heart content, all the meth that he wants. And then we're introduced to Gil. Do you guys watch Suits?
I don't.
I watched it up to maybe season 3. So I know of him up to then. I think season 3 or season 4. But yeah, I remember him from Suits.
Yeah, so Gil is Daniel Hardman in Suits. And for me, I'd already watched Suits at this point, I think. So I kind of weird that this guy, he's like a really nice guy. He's like a brilliant chemist, but he's like really naive. And he's going to be Walt's partner to make the meth alongside him. Jesse's sort of out of the picture this time. He's gone to rehab, whatever. But Walt ends up hating him and wants to get rid of him. So he gets Gus to fire Gil and reinstate Jesse. This is when we end up with this fucking fly episode.
What the fuck was that about?
I have seen online there's essays about this fucking episode and what it means metaphorically and all this bullshit. What did you guy? What did you think of this stupid episode?
It was just I don't know why they did it. It was like, okay, flies are annoying, but you don't need to show me it for an hour that flies are fucking annoying.
I know, it was crazy.
Oh.
Joe, what did you? It's just basically the entire episode is just running after a fly, and nothing actually happened.
Did they even get the fly in the end?
I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they did.
Or did it end up being the fly?
The writers must have been high for that particular episode. That's the only thing I can apply to it. They were high at the time. They wrote the story. They thought, right, we'll go with it. And then afterwards, they'll make up some philosophical stuff to actually, you know, give it some meaning. I don't know.
Who wrote it during the writer's strike? Who knows?
The writer's strike was for the first season. I just read this actually before we started recording. But the writer's strike was the reason why there were only 7 episodes in series 1. So they can't even blame that.
I think Parks and Rec was sort of affected the same way as well. I think it was only like 6 episodes in the first season of that because of the same thing.
Yeah.
It was a real fuck up. It just fucked up a lot of shows for me, that stupid fucking strike. But anyway, we'll move on.
This episode, right, the fly though, this pissed my dad off so much that he felt, because my dad watched the show about maybe a year or so after I did. And he was binge watching it, and it pissed him off so much. He phoned me, asking me why on earth, like I wrote it, why on earth, flabbergasted at the other end of the phone, asking me why on earth did they put out that episode? I couldn't answer him, and I don't have any idea at the moment either. Maybe we'll get some comments on Twitter after this is put out. You know, yeah, give us some information on that.
Points, yeah, some university bloody study into it. similarly, actually, my girlfriend, who doesn't watch that much TV, was actually binge watching Breaking Bad up until this point and has never watched Breaking Bad since this episode.
Oh, no.
she's actually attempted, I think, on 3 different occasions to get through the episode and hasn't done it. And stop watching from then on.
After this episode, though, it gets really dark. It gets bad.
I know, but try telling her that.
maybe that has something to do with it going really dark afterwards.
Yeah, maybe they just really were hot. Maybe they started meth at this point. But we'll move on because we're a bit time sensitive here. So Jesse comes back, and then Jesse's sort of getting his life together. He's getting a bit of money now because he's working with Gus, and then he ends up meeting this girl, Andrea. And Andrea ends up being the sister of a little child who killed one of Jesse's friends in the second season, is it?
Second, I think.
Yeah, and that's how Saul comes into it and everything. So Jesse takes real umbrage to this, and pretty much he's going to kill the people responsible. Not the wee boy, obviously, but the people who put him up to it. So what happens is himself and Walt kill the 3 guys. Walt sort of takes over again, car and a gun seems to be a thing with these
that
guys.
That was horrendous as well.
Yeah, it needed hit. And that pisses Gus off to no end. So this is where the souring of the relationship with Gus starts. So Gus wants to kill Walt for killing these guys because these guys were his guys and the Mexican guys, and they're all connected. So the only problem with this is Gus can't kill Walt because Gil doesn't know the formula for cooking the meth yet. And Walt realizes this, and this is again another step into the darkness, because Walt knows this and goes out of his way to try and kill Gil. But unfortunately, in this step into the darkness, Jesse sort of goes along with him for the ride, because what happens is Walt gets prevented from doing this, and Jesse ends up in the, I think it's the last episode, or maybe in the last scene of season 3, he kills Gil. Were you guys surprised by this, Jesse's behavior? Because up until then, I didn't think Jesse, he was all sort of talk, no bark, no bite. Guy, what do you think? Was this surprising to you?
No, because you saw how what happened to Walt, and if he can go into the darkness from the spot he was in, if you compare Jesse being in rehab to Walt's cancer, they're obviously in both in dark periods and stuff like that. So it only takes a moment to snap and stuff like that. So it didn't surprise me, but I think what you're saying, that he was all talk at the start. He was pretty much just a little bitch for the first few series.
Which is ironic because of what he says.
Yeah, exactly.
Bitch.
Yeah, but it again, it's just an important point in the character development and the series and the show development, pretty much. Shows that Jesse's now more independent and stuff like that from this point on.
Yeah. Joe, are you surprised?
Yeah, I didn't think he would do it. I thought he'd bottle it, to be honest.
Because he sort of pauses, doesn't he, first?
Yeah.
Doing it?
And then even when, because you just hear the gun sound go off, don't you? And the screen goes black in that last episode. It was the last scene of season 3, wasn't it? And even then I had my doubts whether he did it or not. Yeah. But I was surprised that he actually followed through.
I thought it was a great way to end the season.
Yeah, it was.
We'll take a wee break now for a message from the Overlord where he tells you what you're listening to, basically. So take it away, Gags.
You're listening to
The Anfield Index.
The Anfield Index.
That's a
great podcast channel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, guys, well, end of season 4 now. We're a bit stretched for time here. We've ended up talking about 3 seasons a bit longer than what I've liked. But season 4, I think, it's a bit smaller than the last season. We've moved in. Gus still wants to kill Walt, but he can't. And then Walt wants to kill Gus. Isn't that right? And he can't kill
him. Yeah.
Yeah. So they continue making it. It's sort of a relationship. It's sort of like the way Walt, it sort of mirrors the way Walt and Skyler are. They're together because they have to be together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a big thing happens in this is when...
Wait, one second. What series was it when Ted had his unfortunate accident?
I think it's this season, isn't it?
It's this season. All right, we'll come on to that then. Yeah, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to finish this and not talk about that. Yeah, go on, Gary.
Oh no, that's a big point. It's quite funny. So this is big because Gil's apartment gets searched because obviously he was murdered, and they find Gil's notebook, and inside his notebook, the initials WW with a message, and of course we know that that's to Walter White, but Hank doesn't know that. And Hank shares the information with Walt, and they sort of have a heart-to-heart while drinking one night, and they're going through, and Hank sort of jokingly goes, maybe it means Walter White, and Hank, or Walt's like, yeah, that would be funny. You got it.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The way he did that was awesome.
A real pivotal moment. Did you guys think that this WW thing was going to be as important as it was, Joe?
No, not at all.
They disguised it well, didn't they?
They disguised it really well. And yeah, and that moment, because it looked like Hank knew what was going on, the way they sort of, the way they showed it, the way he responded saying, you got me, was fantastic. Yeah. I think they got members of the audience as well, because I was thinking, oh shit, how has he put that together so quick? I was thinking maybe Hank had an inkling at that point, but of course he didn't.
What about you, Guy?
Oh, it was just good. It just showed the development of Walt, where he's just like, I'm untouchable. Even if he did know, I don't give a shit, really.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant, that scene. It
sort of feeds into that where this is the season 4 where the standout line of the show, I am the one who knocks.
Oh, brilliant.
So Walt's really becoming a badass at this point. He's really living to the persona. He's really, he's lapping it up. He's no longer the guy he was in season 1. I'd be right in saying that, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd agree. He's become a Heisenberg rather than the other way around. Walt's sort of his alternate persona, his mask now. So we move on, and Gus, go back to Gus. Gus finds the way to get Walt is to pit Jesse and Walt against each other. So we're again revisiting this whole, there's a sort of a tension between Jesse and Walt the whole way through the thing. Walt sort of treats Jesse like he's stupid. Yeah. And that sort of moves the whole way through, and it becomes really pivotal as we go through. So Gus recognizes this and then pits the two of them against each other. So that as that's going on, Jesse learns to cook the meth the way that Gus wants it. And thus Gus thinks, hey, we can kill Walt, but Jesse says no, or else he's not going to help him. So again, Walt's sort of like a cat with nine lives, isn't he, guys? He keeps getting away with this.
Good time. Yep.
Yeah. Which I was kind of surprised, because I kind of thought with the end of season 3, with the way Jesse was maybe getting a bit more ruthless, did you guys sort of fear for Walt? Do you think Jesse was maybe going to fuck him over at this point?
I didn't know. They always seem to have this, even through the periods where they weren't talking, there was this, seemed to be, for me anyway, this underlying respect, you know, that they'd look out for each other when shit really hit the fan. So I would have been surprised if Jesse would have given the okay for that. I would have found that surprising. So yeah.
He's probably smarter than Gus in the end of it. So Walt recognizes what's happening here. So he plots to turn in Jesse. He flips it. He plots to put Jesse against Gus. And this is where the ricin thing comes in again.
Yeah.
Ricin cigarette thing. So Andrea's son, who we met earlier, he's called Brock or something like that, ends up getting poisoned. And at first Jesse thinks it's Walt. But Walt's like, hey, why would I do it? And he moves him on to Gus. And now Jesse wants to kill Gus. And this is where everything sort of shit hits the fan, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets a bit gruesome. It sort of plays out, and Walt uses Hector. So we now know that Hector hates Gus. Gus hates Hector. But we know also that Hector's not a rat. So Walt gets Hector to go into the DEA building just to sit there because he knows Gus is watching. I thought this was a great... It was a great plan, guys. What do you think?
Amazing.
It's just the way he does. It's because he gets Hector to go into the building. Looks like he's ratting, but we all know he's no rat. And then that persuades Gus to go after Hector at the old folks' home. as I would call it, from The Simpsons.
Retirement castle.
And there, yet again, bam, Walt uses his chemistry brain to kill Gus and blows him up. And we get this really horrible scene of Gus with half his face off.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant scene. Because I'm way the camera pans around, I'm thinking to myself, how the hell has he survived this? fixing his tie.
I think he was talking about his two-face or something, did he? Yeah.
Then it shows the other side of his face, and you're like, fucking hell. Yeah.
Is he all right? Is he? No, he's pretty fucking dead.
Jesus, that was something else.
Yeah, and he just drops to the floor. And again, Walt's he's a killer. Like, it's this is just the guy that he's become. And
he's become by that point, he's become a strategic genius. In terms of setting up all of these sort of guys that are, you know, that are well used to being double crossed by, you know, others and what have you. And he's just outfoxing everyone. It's really, really clever at this point, and dark as well. He's not caring about taking anyone's life at this point. It's kill or be killed sort of approach from him.
Yeah, the series as a whole has just gone. It just to be funny, is to be whatever. In season one, it was kind of lighthearted, I thought. And season four, it's just got to the darkest point, I think. It's started to descend into complete darkness. And then what happens then thereafter is the lab gets burnt up. Walt's finally safe. They're free from it all. And you could go, hey, you could just quit now.
Yeah.
But this is Walt. Did you guys think he was going to quit?
No, no way.
No.
He's not liking it too much.
You always find it, you're like, were you guys spurring him on? What about you, Guy? Were you spurring him on to quit at any point? Or, as you said earlier, did you just want everything to burn?
Oh, no, he had to keep going. He had to be another arsehole. He could fuck over in some sense.
Yeah. What about you, Joe?
I think during season 3 or 4, I was just thinking to myself, why don't you just work? Just do your work for Gus, build up your fortune, however millions you want, and just sail off into the sunset. Why not do that? obviously they're not gonna portray the drug trade positively in that way. But yeah, I was thinking, you know, just do the drugs, cook the meth for Gus, do what you're doing, fulfill your contract, and just disappear with your millions. But nope. Greed.
Just couldn't do it.
And I mean, I remember a conversation between him and Skylar. I think it was a conversation between him and Skylar when he was saying that he's good at it, you know. He enjoys it. He's actually good at it, you know, so he's not going to stop.
We move into season 5 now. This is the last season, even though it's kind of like it's split up into two because TV networks seem to do that these days. It's fucking split everything up. So he ended up getting, I think it was 6 episodes, another 6 episodes, wasn't it? I
think. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we start off in season 5, and we start off actually in the future, and it's Walt's 52nd birthday. We don't really know what's going on. He buys a gun. It becomes important later on, but we don't really know what's going on. TV shows seem to do this back and forth timeline things just to be cool.
Sorry, guys. Can I be a pain and ask a question?
Yep.
This is going way back to bloody season. Was it 2 when Jane died?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff with the plane. So Jane's dad, right, was the pilot of the plane that crashed.
Yes, he was part of air traffic control.
Yeah, and when he heard the news is when he looked away from the screen and then the plane crashed or something like that. It was a really stupid plot point.
Yeah. Something ridiculous like that. So he was indirectly at fault for how many people getting killed by this plane crash?
I know.
Crazy.
But Walt's the monster.
Yeah, he's the monster. What made me think of that was when you said we have a look into the future. Because we had a look into the future with that plane crash as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
When he saw stuff in the swimming pool, etc.
It starts off with that pink bear. But just when you say that, actually, I'm going to go back, actually. Sorry, guys. In season 4 to what you were saying earlier. Because it is actually a big plot point, but the Ted falling over thing. What happens there is Ted gets audited, and that's big because Skyler was cooking his books, and it'll all sort of she'll be at fault because she was keeping his books. So what Skyler does is she takes Walt's money to pay for this, and Ted doesn't want to take it, but she forces him to do it. Bill Burr is one of the muscle in this, which is weird. And the other, the large black guy, I don't
Huel.
Know. I don't know why.
The best name ever, Huel.
Yeah, what is with that? And then Ted tries to get away, and as Joe was saying, it's the funniest thing ever. He runs and trips on his mat and ends up falling on his head and sliding in under a table and then cracking his neck. Off the wall,
neck first into his TV stand, whatever the hell it was. Jesus Christ! I laughed when I first saw that episode. It was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And the look the two guys gave each other as well.
It was at this moment they knew they fucked up.
It's again another trope, though, kind of, isn't it? Where you've got the two dumb muscle guys that kind of fucked up the situation. It is hilarious. But at that point, I thought he was dead, but he's not actually dead. Because we realise later on he's just broke his back.
She won't fuck Ted anymore.
Oh, dear. The next scene, he's laid up, looking full of sorrow. Might never walk again. Bloody hell.
I know, and Skyler just doesn't give a fuck.
Doesn't give a fuck. doesn't care at all.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
we'll go back to season 5 anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So Hank's now investigating, back in present day, Hank's investigating the burnt lab, obviously. Walt and the guys get rid of all the evidence through the use of magnets, I seem to remember, with the scrap guy from the season 1. With the Winnebago.
He's the ultimate hero of this.
Yeah, exactly. Unsung. And they end up getting rid of the evidence and whatever. But what happens is Walt doesn't have any money because Skyler's given away all his money to Ted. So Walt and Jesse and Mike all team up together. Mike is the muscle guy for Gus. But of course now, because Gus is dead, Mike's open for employment, basically. We then meet Lydia, who... I didn't like this character at all. Her character didn't seem to fit into what she was doing. Guy, did you feel that about Lydia? It was kind of like a mismatch, because she was like a pencil pusher, but she was above Gus, kind of?
Yeah, it was almost like Skyler syndrome, but not as bad. Like, you didn't like her, but at the same time, it's like, you don't really fit. You're meant to be providing, I think, is it methylamine or something like that to Gus or something like that? It's like, you don't seem like the type who has the balls to actually get involved in this business.
No, it's just like a real stickler for rules type of girl.
Yeah, and obviously with the scenes with Mike later on when she's in a diner, it's like more like that, where she thinks it's all like Hollywood, where you have to sit with your back to each other in a diner, and then Mike's just like, shut up, bitch, and just say it.
Yeah.
Mike doesn't take any shit, does he? What about you, Joe? Lydia, bit of a pain in the arse?
She's incredibly annoying, right? But I like the fact that they did it that way, you know, because I always, you know, not always, but you watch these films like The Godfather and what have you. You saw these mob movies or TV shows, and you wonder how they get so established, where, you know, they've got these big corporations actually in cahoots. So this was a good sort of way of showing how it would work. So you've got like a someone who's sort of fairly high up in terms of an executive position, and you know she's the connect, really, in order to for him to actually, you know, make the meth in the first place. So I thought it was a good link from the corporate world to the drug trade. Just the character itself was just incredibly annoying. That's the only thing.
I like the link, as you say.
Yeah, that scene where she sat with her dark glasses with her back turned to Mike is absolutely hilarious, though. It's so funny. It's like she watched a couple of old school gangster movies and thought, yep, this is how it's done.
maybe she should check her coffee next time that she does that. Just saying. But she, which, as Guy was saying, she ends up the methylene or whatever the hell it is. I don't make meth. she's providing that. But her supply runs out or something, I seem to remember, isn't that right?
I think they get more strict with the rules or some shit like that.
Yeah, so they end up, they have to rob a train carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
And this is really important because it kind of goes awry And we get introduced to this guy called Todd. He's kind of the muscle, along with Jesse, along with Bill Burr, again, to steal this stuff. And a kid on a bike sees them, on a motorbike sees them. And Todd ends up killing the child, which is really, really shocking at the time. Like, this doesn't happen in TV. You don't just point blank shoot a child.
Yeah.
Did this shooting shock you? Was it just a not? Were you expecting it sort of at this point because of the way everything else was shocking in this series, or did it, that even come out of the blue for you guys? What do you think, Joe?
It was shocking. Yeah, it was. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, most people who've been killed so far are, I'd say, pretty much all involved in the drug trade or are cops. Even Ted wasn't killed. He was laid up in hospital. So to this point, I don't think any innocents or civilians, as they call them, were visibly killed, I don't think, or executed. Mm-hmm. So he was the first. And for it to be a small child on a bike, yeah, it was.
The kid just turns up and is just there. It's like, it's not even a car. It doesn't even really have any lines either.
Yeah.
It's just killed. Guy, were you shocked by this?
It was because Todd actually like waved at him and it was like, oh, okay, he's just going to wave him. Oh, he's dead. Shit. He's actually just shot a child. How would he have any idea what was actually happening in that scene? And he just shoots
it. It's just nothing you see on TV normally. Mm. As you say, innocent people just generally get away with it. They get out of the situation. But this is big because this is just where Jesse just draws the line. He's like, I'm not doing this anymore. Even Mike's like, no, can't be killing kids or whatever. So this leaves Walt in a dilemma and he ends up having to make a deal with some drug lord from Phoenix, because he doesn't want to end up just giving his methylene to the competitor for a shoddy product. So at this point, Walt's being in such a degree that he doesn't want anybody taking anybody else's product because his product is the best. Would you guys say that at this point, this is maybe the worst point of Walt? This is just where the ego is taken over, Guy?
Yeah, this is where Walt becomes pretty much, he takes Gus's role where he's in charge of everything. And it comes up later that he kills off people like Mike and stuff like that. I think he kills all of Mike's friends in jail as well who he was paying for silence. That's why Mike got back in full business, because his account got froze and he needed to pay off his people to stop them squealing on him. But yeah, Walt just becomes, it's more than a drug lord now. Now he's just like a criminal mastermind where he's thinking of more than just supplying drugs and stuff like that.
He's basically just an ego at that point, I think.
Yeah.
He is
the one who knocks Jesus.
Yes, exactly. And he sort of, it even goes even further in the fact that he kills Mike. He could have just let Mike go because Mike wasn't going to be a problem. Mike was leaving. The DEA were investigating, but Mike wasn't going to talk. He got rid of all the evidence and he was going to go. And Walt just kills him needlessly.
Mm.
Which, Joe, did that strike you as odd that he just killed him immediately? Because up until then, I thought Walt sort of had logic, but this one didn't really have any logic. This seemed to be for pleasure rather than anything else.
This is when Walt turns into the bad guy and unlikable. And starts doing things that you think, that wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm. Killing Mike was definitely one. And just continuing the relationship with Todd and his people, you know, just starting sort of brand new and making deals with completely different characters. You just knew he'd sort of taken another direction and further into darkness, really. He'd completely crossed the line by then.
He tries to replace Todd with Jesse with Todd.
With Jesse with Todd, exactly. Yeah.
The Deliverance crew, as I call them.
Yeah. They're just like a bunch of white supremacists.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're fucking horrible characters. This is the point where I started to dislike the series. Don't get me wrong, it's still compelling viewing. Still had to watch the episodes, but was sort of not liking the conclusions that were coming to. Do you know what I mean?
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
If you could sort of write it yourself, you'd sort of maybe go into a more of a happier situation. But it started to get really, really, really dark from that point.
Yeah, I think it was at that point. It was the darkest show on TV, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it shows you as well. For me, I was saying this to you guys earlier. We were discussing this. I said we'd save it for the for the podcast. For me, in the start, Jesse, I hate. Walt, I love. And then it flips at this point. And for me, as we're coming towards the end of the series as a whole, Walt's the bad guy. Everybody hates Walt. Jesse's the sort of anti-hero type guy. Everybody loves him. For me, that's how I felt. What about you, Guy? No?
Well, you've said it a few times. I do like to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
And yeah, I still like Walt. He's got to do what he's got to do. And at this point, I obviously said I didn't like Jesse at this point, and it showed that he does develop. But I grew to like Jesse as well, because he did mature, and obviously he got involved with that Brock and his got in more relationships and stuff like that.
Stop saying bitch.
Yeah, he stopped saying bitches. stopped having mental parties where he just took drugs. That pissed me off no end. But
he sort of becomes somebody that you can kind of respect, because he has morals, whereas it starts to, when you delve down to Walt, doesn't really have any.
Yeah, this is the thing. This it's a morals thing that seems to go out the window with Walt, but with Jesse, he's still got some values. Then no matter what, how much money is at stake, or whether he's going to end up being ratted out to the police or what, there's just lines he won't cross, but Hank will. Sorry, Walt will. At what stage was it? Did Jesse record that message where he threatened to burn all the money? Was it this series?
I'm not too sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it.
I think it's 4 or 5. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And that's we know that Walt, it's all about the money, isn't it?
It's all about the money.
Yeah, it's all about the money. And well, Jesse recognizes that.
Yeah, I think the thing is that Walt, in this series, he finds out that he has cancer again. So then he's just like, fuck this, I'll just get as much money as possible for the bitching kid.
It's the second part of the season that we realize that he's got cancer again. And it's kind of a flip as well, because at the start, Jesse was all about the money and everything, and then he sort of changes with that as well. But we come to the second part of the season. So at the end of the first part, it ends on a real cliffhanger. Hank is over a barbecue or something like that and ends up going to the toilet. It's a really innocuous moment. Like, it's nothing. He's going to take a shit.
Pretty much.
He's into the toilet, and there's a book. I can't remember what the book is.
Some physics shit.
Yeah, something stupid. But I don't know why he's not reading like nuts or something in a bog. I don't know. But he's got a really in-depth book, and he opens it up, and inside it is Walt's initials, and it's signed exactly the same as the WW. And at that moment, bam, it clicks with Hank, because obviously he's a cop or whatever. So his instincts go, and that's for him at that moment at cliffhanger. We now realize he knows that Walt is Heisenberg. I think this is the highlight of the entire.
That's the cliffhangers of all cliffhangers. That is the moment. That is the moment.
Yeah, Joe, this was for you, yeah?
Yeah, because the whole show is building up to this moment when Hank finds out, you know, and that is it. That's when shit. I mean, we've said shit. We've said shit hitting the fan a few times, but this is when this shit it does hit the bloody fan. This is it. It's no more. There's no more subtleties now, or you know, it's all out. It's because family is ruined now. Like everything is fucked, basically.
We didn't see it coming at all. Like, because everything was happy at this point. They were having a nice barbecue and everything. We thought, hey, Walt's actually going to get away with it, because this is season 5. We're like, hey, it must be winding down.
Yeah.
And then, bam, Guy, did this shock you? Was this big for you? Was this your highlight?
This was the pivotal one of the whole show, wasn't it? It was huge in terms of it. And then it just adds another level to Hank as well, where he goes, fuck family. This is police shit.
That surprised me, the fuck family thing. Because I thought to myself, how's he going to respond? Is he going to react how he would normally would with any other criminal, sort of any other sort of high ranking, drug lord mastermind, you know, he's DEA, so obviously he has to go after them, but it being his brother-in-law, how is he going to approach this? And I was a bit surprised that he approached it in even more so, more rigorously than he would if it was somebody else, you know.
Well, he did try to kill him a few times when he was trying to get him to the laundrettes when he fucking crashed his car on purpose and stuff like that.
For me, I think the show peaked at that point. I think that was the end of that part of the season. I think the second half of the season, I didn't really think ever really reached those highs again. Would you agree?
I agree.
Because it starts off and Hank's investigating Walt, but it's all sort of blasé. It's not really like, oh my God, moment anymore. Hank, and then they just end up confronting each other like in a cordial way in his garage.
Yeah.
And they're just having a chat about it. And then Walt just delicately puts in there, hey, my cancer's back, so I'm never going to go to jail anyway. So fuck you, Hank. Do whatever you're going to do.
Off you fuck, mate.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about you.
I thought that they should have had my major criticism of the show is they should have had a heart to heart confrontation between the two of them rather than that garage scene. Yeah.
Because they've gotten really close through the whole thing. Like at the start, as you say, he was a dickhead to Walt, but they'd really grown really close. They were like brothers.
Yeah.
By that point. And then it just like Hank's, the switch just sort of goes. So in a way, I'd say, Joe, you're probably right. He does then treat him immediately. He's just a drug lord to him. The switch is gone in his head and Walt's no longer family. And he starts treating him as such. But then I thought it wasn't really that smart police-wise to just start talking with him in the garage. It couldn't really make sense.
And he let him know that he knew pretty quickly, didn't he? Like, you'd think if he was going to try and bring him down, he'd do it in secret. Yeah, that was a bit strange. Yeah.
As well. But we also look on the flip side. Jesse is out of the whole game of thing, but he's got the $5 million or whatever that Hank or Walt left him for his share of the business. But we realize that Jesse's not happy with the money or whatever. So this is Jesse's really grown up, as we say. So he goes into a real meltdown and drives around and starts chucking his money out a window onto people's lawn because he feels like he has to give it back. And whereas Walt, he's sort of like Gollum with his precious with his money. You know what I mean? He takes his money, he sticks it in 7 barrels, he takes it into the desert where he first cooked meth. There's some symbolism in that, and then buries it out there so as he can sort of go back and go, my precious, every so often. But what did you guys think of Jesse's real meltdown? Did you feel for him? I really felt for him as he was driving around throwing his money out the window. Guy?
Yeah, it's kind of gone full circle with him again, hasn't it? Where he's gone from rehab, from snapping at parties, like after losing Jessica Jones, who I can't remember her name. that's the one. Yeah, he loses. It's like going full circle back to that point where he's actually just snapped and has no idea what to do with life anymore. Mm-hmm. So it just shows that even though you're out the game, you're still fully fucked over by the game.
Of the things he's seen, the things he's done.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah. His conscience couldn't let go, could it?
No, I think this is the point where you realize that Jesse's human and Walt just isn't.
Yeah.
To me. But that throwing out his money gets him in a bit of bother. Cops obviously want to know why he's got $5 million and he's chucking it around the place. So Hank tries to get him to turn on Walt. But it doesn't quite work out. And Walt sort of persuades Jesse to go away through Saul. So Saul can organize this guy to take him away or whatever. Jesse's all ready to go. And then he looks at his cigarette packet. Isn't that what happens? He looks at his cigarette
packet. Oh yeah. And the rice and, thing in there. Yeah.
It reminds him because Saul gets one of his henchmen to steal something off him and he realizes, hey, that Bryson cigarette could have been switched around at any point. And it all clicks. It's sort of like a Hank on the toilet moment where he goes, it was actually Walt the poison Brock all along. Yeah. And this infuriates Jesse because we now know that he's got morals. This is something really dear to him. So he goes to Walt's house and he goes to burn it down. But Walt's not there. Hank follows him and somehow convinces him now. Jesse knows what type of character Walt is, so they agree that they're going to take Walt down. Were you guys surprised by this, with Jesse's change of heart, Joe?
What do you mean? Change of heart to bring Walt down?
Yeah, did you think he would ever actually do it in the end?
I thought he would do it because of the Ryson thing with Brock was the absolute straw that broke the camel's back. So anything Jesse did from that point, I wouldn't have been surprised.
this was his most anti-war moment, and I just thought, yeah, he was out for revenge from this point on. So he wouldn't. I was expecting him to be cooperating with Hank fully from this point.
The relationship, it's broken at that point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely broken.
So they concoct a plan then to lure Walt's money, because they know the only thing that's important to Walt is his money. They lure him there by taking a video saying, hey, we've got your money here. Come and get it. We're going to burn it. And what they do is they put a GPS on Walt and they follow him out to his money.
Yeah.
And it sort of goes into Mexican standoff mode, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's a real. So this is the point he goes out. It's my precious, my money. He realizes that he's been done. Walt then, being the character that he is now, goes, hey, I'm going to hire some white supremacists to come and help me out here. So basically, Walt's just decided he's killing Hank. So he calls him out, and then he has a change of heart. Isn't that right? Were you guys surprised by that? Guy, do you think he was?
I wasn't surprised by it, obviously. I think everyone has the snapping point. But when someone's gone that far and doesn't give a fuck anymore, it's like, you kind of put yourself in the shit here, haven't you? And obviously, I think it's where he says, Hank, you're going to get out with this. And Hank's like, no, I'm already fucking dead, mate.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is the point of no return, obviously, even though he wants to now.
Yeah, because Hank's partner gets killed, and then Hank gets shot, and he's on the ground, and Walt's like, no, don't do it. But Jack, he's a white supremacist, this fucking psycho, does it, and Todd ends up killing him for him. And they steal Walt's money, which is what's precious to him, leave him with one barrel of money, which is still probably an obscene amount of money. Anyway, but once Skylar realizes Hank's dead, so Walt goes back to Skylar and she realizes, and then again, she snaps. So everybody's relationship with Walt at this point is just breaking. That's it. He's alone basically now.
Yeah.
So he's alone. She tries to kill him with a knife, doesn't work out, and he ends up stealing the child and going on the run. So Walt's lost everything. He's on the run. This is just, it's kind of like a real roundabout way of getting to the story of don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, this is the don't do drugs message, because everything in your life will go to shit.
Yeah, it'll just melt down. So,
yeah.
So basically everything that Walt, at the start of the series, he wanted to provide for his family, and now at this stage he doesn't have any family, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But then something weird happens, because Walt's conscious kind of kicks back in again. And he admits everything on the phone while it's being recorded by the police. So the police now know all this. And he leaves the baby in a fire station or something, isn't it?
I can't remember. Does he leave it with Saul? No.
No, I think he left it in a fire. I think he left it alone in a fire station to be picked up and tells Skylar where it is.
Something like that.
And then I think what he does next is he goes to Saul. He gets the same guy again to be relocated. Only this time he goes through with it. And then we fast forward to, this is when his 52nd birthday was. So he's out in the wilderness in his cabin with his money, with nothing being able to do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like that story of, like, you've got your money, but you've got nothing else. So basically, it was all pointless. Did you guys feel for him at this point, Guy?
Yeah, because you see that it was. He's not back to first season Walt, but it's like, this dude's been through a lot of shit. And then that waitress is like, oh, it's your birthday, you should celebrate. He's like, no. Well, what's the fucking point? And stuff like
not
that.
Not for me.
Yeah.
I don't deserve.
Yeah. He's pretty much trying to do his best to right the wrongs that he's done. Obviously, he's survived longer than he actually thought he would, because obviously he's a year older when he said he was dying within weeks or something like that to Hank. So he thought, screw it, I'll try and right wrongs.
Yeah, what do you think, Joe? Have you gone from hating him to feeling sorry for him?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. I think I did. It went pear-shaped, didn't it? But I like the fact that he was, as Guy said, took it upon himself to start righting some wrongs now. But yeah, it's funny. Just goes, yeah, go on.
It's funny how a lot of characters all change in this show. We go from hating to loving to indifferent to being sorry. It all in a matter of maybe one or two episodes. And yeah. I thought that was brilliant from the writers, the way they did that. And the way he kind of goes full circle then in the end. So he's a great guy. He's the ultimate dickhead, and then he's a great guy again.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating the way they do that. But we're in the final stretch now of the series. We'll get this wrapped up now. So what ends up happening is he sees on TV the two partners we mentioned earlier on, we said were pivotal to the whole thing. I think it's Grey Matter or something the company's called. Where basically Walt was the brains behind whatever product they came up with or whatever formula they came up with. But because he's wanted by the police, they go on TV and sort of disavow him and say, no way, he had nothing to do with any of it. We come up with everything. And this Walt's sort of ego kicks back in again. And he goes, right, I'm going to go and I'm going to fuck them up. So we think that he's back into full rage mode again. And he goes there and pretty much we think he's going to kill him. You think he's going to kill him, guys? Joe?
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think he was going to kill them. But I was back to being a Walt fan at this stage because they really did. It just seemed that they really did shaft him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Somehow getting him out. Yeah,
that's the way his life could have been, but he got shafted, basically.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I was in the predicament is in the first place. So it seemed like, you know, it was part of having this incredible idea to build this company and they're all living some millionaire's lifestyle. And the fact he got sort of screwed out of it is the reason he's going through all this shit. So I was backing him to inflict some sort of revenge on them, but I didn't think he'd kill them. No, I think it would be a bit more clever, more subtle than that.
But what about you, Guy? Do you think he would kill them?
Well, at this stage, you didn't know that he was coming back to like try and rescue Jesse and stuff like that. So I thought he was just going to come back and fuck everyone over. So I thought he was going to kill them.
See, I thought that, and then they've got the red dots and everything on them.
Yeah,
just going to blow them away because he bought the gun and everything. So yeah. It's like, yeah, he's definitely going to do it. But what he actually does is, sort of the full circle thing kicks in again. He gives the money to them because they're rich. They can launder the money basically and set it up for. He set it up for Flynn on his 18th birthday, I think it is. So then he can get the money. So at least all of this heartache could be for something, basically.
Yeah.
And then he's sort of cleaning up shop at this point as well. So what he does is he takes the rice in with him. He apologizes to Skyler, poisons Lydia in her movie scene in a coffee shop, lures her in, puts the rice in her coffee, which is kind of a weird symmetry to that. Were you guys glad about that?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That was dead, awesome.
killed in the most cliche of ways. So he's sort of righting all the wrongs here, and then we're only left with just one singular person, and that's Jesse. And Jesse, we find him, he's now being held captive, basically, by Jack and the white supremacist crew. So Walt concocts a plan to save him. Joe, what do you think of this stellar plan Walt comes up with? Was this genius Walt at the ready again?
This was Hannibal Smith, Walt. It was big time A-team mode the way he orchestrated this escape. But my least favorite scene in the whole thing happened, I think, just before this, when Jesse was already being kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And I think he refused to cook for them, and they got him to basically do anything and they wanted by going to
the girl, yeah.
They went to his girlfriend's house and was it Andrea and killed her.
Yeah.
And that for me was the darkest moment of the entire series. I was pretty upset at that point. It was really well acted and written though. It was so dramatic. And they basically said, if you don't do what we want, we'll go back and kill the boy. So he had no choice. And yeah, pretty much working for them as a slave, cooking up the meth. I don't know how long. I can't remember how long. So yeah, was glad for when.
I think it was about a year, wasn't it?
Was it that long? Yeah,
I think it's a year long from his 51st birthday or something. I think it was when he was diagnosed again.
That is a long time being held captive. was happy for Walt to come back and hatch his plan to get him out.
Guy, do you think that Walt realized this was sort of the end? Do you think he banked on getting? Or do you think his ego was maybe above that and he thought he could get Jesse out of there and not die at the same time?
I thought he just didn't give a shit if he lived or died, really.
All chips were in at that point?
Yeah, fuck it. If I die, I might as well try and rescue Jesse, and if not, I'm gonna kill some hillbillies in the process.
It was a real redemption thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happens then is he saves him, but he kind of gets shot by his own gun in the process. But everybody else ends up dead, which is great. And then it's just left with sort of like the two central figures. It's a real poignant moment. And Walt pretty much says to Jesse, kill me. That's what you want to do anyway. What do you think, guys? Did you think he was going to kill him? Not going to kill him? Didn't really know. Joe?
No, I didn't think so. He was going to leave him to I think at that point, if killing him was he didn't want nothing to do with him, really. And he wasn't going to do him any favors. And I think he thought killing him would be doing him a favor. So he just left.
What about you, Guy?
Yeah, I was the same. I thought killing him would be the kind option and that, because he's obviously been shot and he's still got his cancer, so he's going to just die slowly either way. So I think that it's the right thing from Jesse's point of view to just leave him there slowly die.
It was a similar scene in Game of Thrones, wasn't there? It was a similar scene in Game of Thrones, wasn't there? The Stark girl, what was her name when she was with the dog? Hound. She just left him for dead.
Rot, yeah.
Yeah.
He might be still alive though. He might be.
That's true.
Because who really knows? Everybody's dead and alive at the same time in that show.
Yeah, exactly.
at that point, I kind of thought, kind of entered my mind, are they going to do a cop out? Because you know why TV shows normally leave it open ended, like you know why Dexter did it. Open ended. Is he going to die? But finally, a set of writers had the balls to kill him off. I thought it was a great ending. I loved the way that he died. He died going full circle, as I said, and the fact that he actually died. Were you guys happy with the ending, Guy? Was the ending okay for you, or did you?
Yeah. You see it with TV shows that they can fucking. They'll try and bring like you see the X-Files now. Obviously, they didn't have a proper ending there, but obviously they brought it back and now it's shit. I'm glad they can't do that with Breaking Bad now. They've gone down the prequel route.
They'll always find a way.
Yeah, but it kind of makes sense for a prequel because there's obviously a shitload of characters.
Sidequel, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, sidequel.
And I'm glad they killed off Walt because if they brought him back, like, they'll open it with him fucking on his 53rd birthday or something like that. Some shit like that.
Yeah. Joe, are you happy with it?
Yeah, happy with it, yeah. It was, yeah. They sealed it shut, didn't they? Which was
exactly
good.
How you wanted it to be.
Yeah, it was. They did it really well. No cop out. Yeah, I agree with Guy. Just, yeah. Kill him off. Give everyone closure. That's the end of that. A wrap. That's the wrap. No temptations to try and rekindle none of that bollocks yet. Just seal it shut. You mentioned Dexter that had the opposite ending, and I think they wanted to the option of a ninth or tenth season, They wanted the option they wanted an option of a ninth season, so that's why they did it like that. But then I think the network were like, nah, that's your lot.
And it just ruined it as a complete package, didn't it?
I hated the ending for Dexter, and Dexter's my favorite ever TV show. But went kind of shit there with you at the end. Yeah.
So anyway, that Breaking Bad wraps up nicely. I think that wraps up nicely the plot as well. It was going to go into favorite characters and stuff. I think we've discussed that anyway. Just last thing, just a bit of admin, basically. Any plugs from you guys, Joe? You got anything coming up?
No, not really. No plugs. I'm not sure when I'm going to be on the next podcast. Waiting for the invite. So as and when, the all important direct message from Mr. Camden.
Where can everybody find you?
Twitter and jcuzzy1. You can find me there. And I'll be ranting away at Liverpool's poor season mostly. So, yeah.
Is there anything else to talk about, really, is there?
Exactly.
What about you, Guy? You got anything coming up or whatever? I know you've got the new Academy podcast, so anybody's interested in the youth and stuff like that, they want to give that a
listen. Yeah, obviously on the Anfield Index. I do the Academy podcast. I host that with Nathan and Scott. I was also on the Reds review for February this month with Andy. So give that a listen. I think that's still in circulation. Yeah, and that's pretty much all for my plugs.
It's like the internet. Nothing ever goes away. If you said something once on the internet, it's there. Pretty much. All I have to say is thanks very much, guys, for taking the time. I know it lasted a bit longer than we had thought it was going to last, but thanks very much. I hope everybody at home or wherever, in your car, whatever, listening, enjoyed it. If it spoiled it for you, you're an idiot. Pretty much. But that's it for me. We'll be back again soon. See you later, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media. Source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.